Hi, everyone. This is Father Jim Churn, and you're listening to the Pope Benedict XVI School of Prayer podcast, where every week we're reflecting on the late Holy Father's catechesis, first giving back in 2011 and 2012, and he was laying out in his weekly audiences basically the foundational elements of the life of prayer as the Holy Father saw it in some of his own reflections, in his own priesthood, his life as a bishop and as the Holy Father. And this week, we're in week 17, and we were reflecting on Psalm 119. And it's, again, one of those things that I've been so grateful for doing this catechesis with all of you and reflecting on it is a lot of these psalms are a part of my daily prayer in the Liturgy of the Hours and the breviary. But, you know, until the Holy Father highlights and emphasizes certain things, either I've forgotten them or maybe I never even knew them myself before. So, for example, when he said about the psalm in particular that it's one of the largest, 176 verses, I said I didn't necessarily realize that or recognize that. And when I pulled out the Bible and I was looking at it, it's, you know, my copy of the Great Adventure Bible here, it's over 5 pages long, which is amazing. And when he explained, and I know I think I butchered the word in the podcast, which I stuttered over at least 3 or 4 times. I'm going to try it again. Acrostic in alphabetical order. That's the special feature that he highlights here. It's acrostic in alphabetical order, meaning that every stanza basically starts with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. So, you know, if you think back to when you're in grammar school and you have in first grade, A is for apples, B is for bananas, C is for cucumbers, and so on. The author of this psalm basically took the entire Hebrew alphabet, and each of the stanzas starts with the Hebrew equivalent of the letter A, the letter B, the letter C, all the way to the end of the alphabet, which is really amazing when you think about it. And the fact that it encompasses the, as the Holy Father highlights here, the entirety of the Torah, the law, it's pretty impressive when you think about the creativity, the thought, the time and effort that went into this, into the composition of it. I don't know if it for some reason, just this week in particular, that idea really hit me about the creative genius that had to be at work with this. Obviously, the Lord inspiring it and giving the gift of creativity in the first place. But on the human end, as this author was sitting there and composing the psalm, that's obviously something motivated him. You know, we want to believe that the Holy Spirit motivated him to come up with this particular prayer in this particular form, that made him set out to tackle the Hebrew alphabet and to make this a prayer praising God for the law. So there's just something really moving about that to me, maybe because I can relate to the effort that goes into trying to write and trying to do something that's going to be meaningful to people, that the listeners will be able to appreciate or something along those lines. I can empathize with the struggle that must have gone into this and the amount of time that the author was sitting and reflecting and changing the words or trying to come up with another word that starts with a certain letter in particular so that it fits this this pattern that he was following here. So there's just something incredibly moving about that. Unfortunately, because in English we don't get that sense here. You know, we lose that that element of the artistic creativity of it. So it's really great that the Holy Father was able to kind of highlight that for us so that we can look at this psalm and hopefully look at it with a little bit more appreciation. appreciation for what went into it. And I really encourage you to, if you get a chance, to take out your Bible and just take a look at it. I mean, hopefully pray with it. As I said, it's lengthy here, so you could definitely consume a lot of time in a holy hour if you were to sit with Psalm 119. But as you're doing that and you remember, again, the pattern that this author was following, keep in mind what the Holy Father said. The entire alphabet unfolds through the 22 stanzas of the psalm and also the whole vocabulary of the believer's trusting relationship with God that we find in it: praise, thanksgiving, and trust, but also supplication and lamentation. So it's similar to some of the other psalms that we've reflected on previously, where you're getting the whole range of human emotions and human experiences and trying to relate to God, but in a very particular way in this one particular psalm. One other thing that stood out for me was the Holy Father kind of swerving into talking about the Blessed Mother, when he's talking about the Virgin Mary, and that the psalmist's faithfulness stems from listening to the word, from pondering on it in his inmost self and meditating on it, cherishing it just as Mary did, who kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. So the Holy Father, I think, was making the point that the time and energy and creativity that went into this to give birth to this psalm was basically taking the word of God into his inmost being, pondering it, and this is something that came from that reflection. And he made a beautiful parallel with the Blessed Mother, who pondered all the wonderful things that were being said of Jesus when they presented Jesus in the temple. And first, Simeon and then Anna are speaking about the Messiah coming to them, and just the light of salvation that was being dawned upon the Israelites as Jesus is brought into the temple, and how these things were going to pierce Mary's heart, and that Anna, the prophetess, comes along, and she also starts praising God and praising Jesus in their midst. And, you know, the Gospel of Luke highlights this and says how Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And it's funny because as the Holy Father was continuing, he said, it was to her and to her faith that Jesus himself bore witness when he answered the woman who had cried, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and with blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And there was something about just the way he phrased that, that when that gospel has come up multiple times, I've always been able to like highlight the point that this wasn't Jesus dissing the Blessed Mother. He wasn't like trying to be excluding her and or saying that the people in front of him were more important. He was basically including all of them in that and saying that the Blessed Mother was the first to do that. And just as they're listening to him at that moment, they're as important to them, him, as the Blessed Mother was, that they become family to him. But there's something, like I said, the way that the Holy Father phrased it here, that it just stood out, that he's highlighting the importance of Mary's role, not just in the sense of like a biological feature, that because she had this womb and that she bore Jesus, but it was, again, the free choice and her faithfulness in responding to God's invitation, that's what preceded her conception of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we often forget that, you know, we understandably are drawn to highlight her motherhood and the intimacy of a mother and a son and that special relationship there. But, you know, what the Holy Father is pointing out here and what Jesus is pointing out in the gospel is that her first and most primary role, and the reason that we venerate her as Christians, is that, you know, we see her as a perfect disciple. She's the first disciple of Christ, and she's the one that gives us the perfect example that she hears God's word, she hears his invitation, and there's an immediacy and a complete surrender to that that allows all these things to unfold in her and brings Jesus into the life of the world. So there's something about that in terms of the Holy Father making that parallel with the psalmist, the author of this particular psalm, doing something similar in with what's true of each of us, that when we're that docile and receptive to the Holy Spirit and to God's word in our lives, the miraculous things that can occur and all the wonders that the Lord is able to accomplish in with us, whether it's something as creative and amazing as this particular psalm, or something unique and special in the primary and singular vocation of Mary's motherhood. So those are just some of my ramblings and reflections here. Thanks so much, as always, for your journey with me in this, and your comments, your questions, and your feedback. I appreciate it. As always, feel free to leave those comments in our Facebook group, or you can send me a direct message. That's fine as well. And I look forward to continuing journeying with you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.